Well, most of you have had a chance this summer at some point to be away. Go someplace different. Get out of your routine. Maybe it was a place you wanted to be. Maybe it wasn't a place you wanted to be. But you got there and there was something different. Hopefully, you have had a chance to kind of go someplace and not have a schedule. We got a chance to do that this week. Regina, Luke, and I went to what we affectionately call Club Smith, which is up on Lake Lanier, where my dad lives. And, you know, it's not like we have to do anything. We don't have to go anywhere. There's things to do if we want to do them. We don't have to do them if we don't want to. And my dad never lets us go unfed. It's just very nice. Now, actually, we intended originally to do a little bit more than just go to my dad's, but circumstances got in the way and we didn't get a chance to do the other things, which is disappointing to some degree, but at the same time, you just kind of embrace where you are and enjoy what you have. In that time, and thinking about what I needed to talk about today, I felt like the thing that we needed to talk about was what I was finally getting a chance to do, or at least doing. And that was finding some space, white space, margin. So that's what I want to talk with you about today. Finding God in the margins. You can see all the post-it notes up there. Now, I don't know if you're going to read any of them, but we've got things like mom in the hospital, son sick, traffic. Oh, lost my phone. Okay. Traffic has a special place in the Georgetown people's hearts these days. Email doesn't work. Sign up for something versus something anyway. Car has problems. There's all kind of, weed garden, cut the grass, whatever you want to do. It's up there. Okay. Do you have this much stuff on your plate? We feel like we do, don't we? If we don't. There was an old saying that you've probably heard before. I think it was originally attributed to some anonymous old African-American pastor who said, life show is daily. And that's true. Let's look at a picture for a minute. This is the kind of stuff that I have to look at, okay, whenever school's in session. So what makes this hard to read?
Font.
Single space in the font, okay? You could read it, but it takes work, right? Look at the next one. Which of these would you rather read? Which one's the first one, Daniel? Left or right? No, left. I'd rather read the left, wouldn't you? Why? More white space. I try to convince my students of this all the time. The way your brain works is it needs not only organization, but it needs room to make sense of things. And we can read things that are crammed together, but it's harder for us to do that. It takes more work. So things that are double spaced with appropriate margins and and gaps, that's where we need to focus. All right, next one, John. So if we're going to find God in the margins in our life, when we need margins, we have a few problems. Number one, we've talked about, we're always busy. Okay, so hang with me. We're always busy. When we're at home, when we're in our schedule, in our routine, we're always busy. Right? Second one, we're addicted to busyness. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. How do I know we're addicted to busyness? We have to be busy. We must be busy. We will be busy. We are busy. Third thing, we feel that we are always busy. Even if we're not busy, we feel like we are. Ah, going to get there in a minute. Okay, which is the next one? Go ahead, John. We feel like we're supposed to be busy to have value. And if we are not busy, we feel like in some way we are diminished. Now, are you with me so far? You hear what I'm saying? There is an art to dealing with all this, a practice to dealing with all this, to finding margins in our lives, because we need margins. I'm going to show you why in a minute. Tell you how it started, why it's important. So, after we've looked at the problem, let's look at some things that are true. The truth, we are not always busy. Even if we feel like it, and even if we think like it, we are not. So one of the things we have to do is be honest and stop complaining. Because when we complain, we're telling the enemy that there is a victim in the house. Quoting Maya Angelou. Number two, we can enjoy quiet and we need to. We need times when we are not busy, when we are intentionally not, and we are saying, I'm not busy. I'm not. Right now, I am not busy and I am going to squeeze the moment that I have. And I'm going to put myself in a context and a place where I can squeeze all that I can out of this moment. Sometimes, like for me, it's not the same for me. I got to get out of the house. I got to see trees. I got to feel wind. I got to watch squirrels. Okay? Got to do it. Saw a squirrel this morning. Reminded me. Luke and I had this conversation not too long ago in the car. That's where we have most of our conversations. There is an entire other world that does not care if I'm late. There's birds, and there's squirrels, and there's critters, and they do what they do every day, all day long. And they could care less if I run out of gas. They could care less if there's traffic in Georgetown. They're doing their thing. Now that ought to remind me something. That ought to bring to our minds that the world is a bigger place than our busyness. So we need, we can enjoy quiet, and we need to. Three. We should not always be busy. Number four. Busyness. You know, that is a really problematic turn on the word, isn't it? Now, in the past, I've actually spelled it with a Y to distinguish busyness from business. But let's leave it as it is. Business does not define our value. We are not more important because we are busy. And important people are not necessarily the busiest people. But that is not how we look at it in our country, in our culture. All right. You have some things to think about? I had a lot of things to think about. So, let's look at what God says and has said about finding Him in our daily life by taking time out to create margins in our busyness. First passage we want to look at is Psalm 46, 7 through 10. And yes, on some of these, if there's a place that I really want to focus, it's in bold. So Psalm 46, 7 through 10 says, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations He's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.'" So basically, We need to allow God to fill in our margins. Number one, we need to make margins, keep margins in our lives, but make sure that God is the one who's filling the margins. What happens when we're still before God? We can hear. We get it. Peace comes. Sometimes. Whenever you are still before God, quiet before God, what happened? You hear Him. What else? Get perspective. Okay? Whose perspective? God's perspective. We're going to talk a little bit about how that happens in a little while. Be still and know that I am God. One of the things that I think happens when we are still and we are quiet and we listen and we reflect is that we realize that we aren't God. And we can't make things happen. And we're not as much in control as we think we are. We're letting God fill up the margin, the time that we've set aside to be quiet and still before Him. We're going to go back to the Old Testament in Exodus here. One of those key concepts that sets aside the people of God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male nor your female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Next passage, John. In the New Testament, we see Jesus saying this. Then He said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And that statement came whenever the scribes and Pharisees were chirping their disagreement with the fact that His disciples were gleaning on the side of the field and eating on the Sabbath. That was work. So what do we learn from these two passages about the Sabbath? Well, if we're honest, it looks like the Sabbath was God's intended divine interposition of margins into the fabric of human culture. And it was meant to be a parenthesis in our lives, in our toil, in our work, in our busyness, so that we would set it all aside and we would say, "Okay, God, fill up the margin." How does our culture view this idea? Okay? It's another blank on your schedule that you add to the week. Right? And if it becomes another blank on the schedule that you add to your weekly pattern, it becomes what? Just another piece on the board, right? And when you get too many pieces on the board, what do you start to do? You choose which piece you don't move, or which piece comes off the board, right? And we're human, and we're not always really good at things. In fact, we'll just use the word we're broken. So because we're broken folk, if we let the busyness rule, then the margins go. Does that make sense? Because we do feel guilty if we're not busy, because we're broke. We think we have to be busy all the time. We feel like if we're not busy, we don't have value. Like we stated earlier. So when there's so many pieces on the board, we start taking the pieces off that give us margins. Because if you look at it, they don't produce. Is this striking you? God created this. Look, I'm not here to talk about legalism. I'm not saying you've got to be here on Sunday. I'm not doing that. Don't. What I'm saying is God created us with a need for a margin. And the margin that He established was a day of rest. He modeled it when He created whatever there is. Jesus said He created the idea because He knew us and He created us. We need margins. It's part of how God created us. That's what the Sabbath is all about. Okay. So the culture and the opportunity. The culture sees Sabbath and the idea of being quiet before God, being still unencumbered and not busy, as something that is optional. To the point of, if I don't go to church or I don't go to whatever it is that's the margin that's supposed to be filled by God whenever I do it with other people, if that does not make me feel, or that does not educate me, or that does not produce for me, it's not worth being on the board. And the problem is that valuable margin gets eliminated. And what you have left is the busyness, because we're broken. Any other problems you see that maybe are coming about because of our view of this idea of the Sabbath? It's an opportunity. The margin is an opportunity to let God invade our space and give us what we need to make sense of everything else. And sometimes, now, although I'm not really going into this for us today, but I'm going to say it anyway. If we have allowed busyness to run our lives, God will allow us to experience something that will place a parenthesis in our lives, so that we remember we need the margin. We remember we need Him. We need Him to fill up the margin. Sometimes those things that are parentheses in our lives are not pleasant nor happy. I'm not saying God does mean things. Don't hear me saying things like that. I'm just saying that God wants us to remember that we need Him. And there's things that happen in everyday life because we are created beings. And those things happen, and when those things come around, sometimes those are parentheses in our lives that remind us we need to margin and we need Him to fill it. This is the way we were made. What's God's greatest purpose for you and me? That we would be like Jesus. Next passage, John. This one's from Psalm 127. The psalmist says, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He grants sleep to those He loves." Whew. Now the truth is, there is nothing wrong or sinful with business or even busyness and toil and work and all those things. But everyone needs margins. We have a 24-hour cycle. Sleep is a margin too. It's a chance when our brains kind of deprogram through the day. It processes the day. We dream. Haven't you ever gone to sleep and something troubled you? When you wake up, it's not troubling you as much anymore. How sleepless are we? Have you ever been in a place where you don't sleep? Where you haven't slept for a number of days or a day or two? What happens when you don't sleep? All right, you start feeling kind of crazy. Really, if you haven't ever had this go on, you really don't. What are some things that happen when you don't sleep? Okay, you can't focus. Okay, after a couple of days. If you are a patient person, you're no longer a patient person. Okay, you react a whole lot more. Physiologically, whenever I've been there, I've had things like my fingers and my toes have gotten numb. Very odd. And there may be other things that other people experience. Headaches. Why are we losing sleep? Menopause. She said it, I didn't. I still think it shouldn't start with M-E-N. But so, number one, we need to make sure that we acknowledge that really we are created with margins in there. Even sleep. God created us to need sleep. So there's a margin. Now we can even invite God into that. John, next passage. Psalm 16:7-11 says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. Yes, you remember this from the New Testament, do you not? This is a passage that was quoted. You remember when it was quoted? You need to go look that up. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Because even at night, we can find a margin. It's not talking about sleep here, but at night. The writer of this psalm is saying that they're spending time with God in the quiet, after the day, at night. And by doing that, certain things happen. What are some of the things that happen? What are some of the benefits mentioned here that if we'll keep a margin in our lives that's filled by God? Joy, okay? Not be shaken, which is confidence, security. We'll know God's plan, path for us, big picture, step by step. And now that doesn't mean we get the whole thing right now, but we know that we are getting the direction we need. What are some of your stories where this has been demonstrated? Where in your margins, whether they're at night or early in the morning, you found that these things have happened in your life. Got a story? I can't remember exactly how long ago it was. It may have been as short as 6 months, or it may have been as long as a year. I can't remember. But there was literally one day where I just didn't have any idea what I was supposed to teach on a Sunday. No clue. And I was frustrated, and I kept going back and forth and back and forth, and I just couldn't figure it out. I literally walked out the door, stood in my driveway, and looked in the sky. And within 10 minutes, I came back in, and I knew what I was supposed to do. I was treating it like busyness, and I had to have a margin. That just happened to be the margin that I needed for the day. And it wasn't like, okay, put in my prayer, and the big cosmic vending machine pops out what you're supposed to do. That's not what I mean. It was that I couldn't get it. I didn't understand. I couldn't perceive. I needed a margin. Once I gave myself the margin, that I recognized that I had a margin that I could use. Things lined up. And in my life and in your life, how many times are we passing up the opportunities for the margins that God has allowed us to enjoy if we would just take advantage of them? This is a two-slide passage. It's from Lamentations, Jeremiah's writing. It said, I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and there forever I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's where the song comes from. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, To the one who seeks Him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. All this is really great. Here's the context at the end. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. There's stuff that we encounter that we don't like. And the only way that we get it and confront it or deal with it the way God wants us to is in the margin, seeking Him. At least that's what I'm seeing it saying. How about you? Is that what you see it saying? Time alone with God helps us process and deal with, frame, understand not only what is the situation that's in front of us, but also what is God doing in the situation that's in front of us, and then what is He calling us to do in the situation that's in front of us. And you know what I found? Like this passage says, if I do it when I'm younger, I'm wiser when I'm older. Is there stuff now that you don't sweat that you used to sweat when you were younger? Have you not tested, tried God to take care of stuff when, you know, along life, and then you find out after He takes care of it, when you submit it to Him, that later you realize that's His thing. I'm going to trust Him. Lord, I'm going to acknowledge that I'm trusting You with it. So you don't have to have anxiety or be troubled over those things. There's bigger fish to fry. How has God, finding God in your margins, helped you to process or frame something that was a challenge or was difficult? You have a story? We have allowed in our culture the busyness of the culture to infect the way the church sees its own value. In that if we're not busy in meetings, in ministries, in programs, and going, then we are not what we're supposed to be. And there's nothing that is godly about that. But it is why we are who we are. It's not just one of the things we've got to get our hands around. When we talk about the things that make us different, we don't do that to try to be arrogant or cute or even critical of others. We're embracing the fact that we're supposed to have time to be the church. We're supposed to be with one another and with God. And then we are supposed to be engaging the world around us. There is nothing that says we're supposed to have meetings or that we're supposed to, you know, do things that keep us occupied to make us feel important. Terry's talking about opportunities. Opportunities. Just in the normal pattern of life. That's what I see that Lamentations 3 passage being about. Okay? Is that there are times, many times, probably more than we want to confess, maybe daily, that we hit the things that challenge us, and if we do not have the faith to embrace the margins that we are given, then we don't give God the room to work. We don't have His perspective. We don't hear His voice. We don't get the picture. We don't get anything but our own frenetic. Yeah, we get frustrated. We get depressed. It's like being in the middle of a lake and flailing about in the water, and you're going under. All right, let's look at the next passage. These are two reminders. It's just the story, folks. Luke 5, 15, 16. Talking about Jesus. The news about Him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear Him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Often. Margin. Time with the Father. Quiet. filling up the margin. Next one. This just repeats the same sentiment. Mark 6, 31, 32. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. That's what Jesus did. Yes, he kept the Sabbath. Yes, he hung out with the disciples. Yes, they prayed together. Yes, they went and he say, let's get out of here. Yes, he did. He understood margins. He made them. He used them. He squeezed them. Next passage, John. So we come to Romans 2. Paul saying, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How and when does that happen? Because that's the only time you will then be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That margin that's filled up with God, when the Holy Spirit shows up and you sit there and you have time with Jesus, that is what Terry was talking about earlier. That's when we begin to become like Jesus. That's when we understand the stuff we're in the middle of from God's perspective, and we start to get a piece and a piece of the puzzle. Peace in our heart, shalom, wholeness, contentment, knowing God's in charge, and that He's at work. Maybe you get a chance to see a little bit of that. But also, that you get an understanding that you and I can't have when we try to do stuff to manufacture, create, and do it our way with our busyness. So, last slide. Finding God in the margins. Why we need margins? Just to kind of sum it up. God made us that way. They remind us we are not gods. Not God possessive, but gods as in plural, in God's place. We can't make things happen. Two, margins give us a chance to hear from God, like we've said. Three, margins help us to focus on important things. God's plan, what He's doing, what He wants us to do. Four, margins energize us to accomplish God's plans. When we've been with Him in our quiet times, that's when we get the power of the Spirit upon us because we've been with God. And then we get to go change the world. Well, it's just realizing that there are opportunities all around us for margins. And that we need to make the most of those margins. You know, we have a lot of moments in our day. If we need a margin, we can walk outside. We'll feel the wind blow, watch squirrels run, listen to a bird. If that's what we need, we can go do that. What's keeping us where we are? There are a lot of opportunities for margins. There's one more thing I was going to say, and I've got to see if I can't regain that thing. I can't remember it right now. Isn't that bad? Lord, remind me if I'm supposed to say this. God created us with a need for margins. And the margins that He created us for that are the most important are the ones where we allow Him to be the one to fill the margins. We need Him. We need what He brings us. Just remembered it. Here we go. One of the challenges that we have in our Christian culture in America is that we don't turn our time with God into a chore or work. To where we say, oh, I have to do this study, I'm doing this, I've got to fill in these blanks, or I've got to cover this, or I've got to pray this, I've got to do this now. The problem is, if that's a guide and that's a place for you, then you need that structure. That's not that it's wrong. I'm not saying that. But we can make it another busy thing. And we don't need our time with God to be another busy thing. We need to be in Daddy's lap, which is a lot different from studying, analyzing, you know, you get what I'm saying. We don't need to make it work. Our time with God doesn't need to be work. All right. A lot of reasons we stay busy, isn't there? All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the margins. Lord, I ask that you would help us to see our desperate need for these times in our lives, our daily lives, that we can submit them to you, that you can meet us in them, and that, Lord, it will change everything about us. That, Lord, we will have joy. We will have purpose. We will have hope because we allow you to come be a part of and the Lord of everything, because we start to see the world and life from your perspective. Lord, I pray that you would help us to embrace the margins so that, Lord, we won't be fearful. We won't be frustrated. We won't be depressed. But that, Lord, we will be the light of the world because you have created us to be like a city on a hill. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.